Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. You know, it's been a bit of a crazy month for Japanese punk fans. I mentioned last week how Sissy Mommy Ray's drummer Mizue Maeda would be leaving the group in a couple weeks, which really sucks because she's awesome when playing with Mari and Yayoi. However, in another shocking turn of events, the band Guitar Wolf, which you hear their song Cien Cola as our podcast theme, just lost their bassist, Ugh! In fact, they're already seeking out a new bassist as we speak. They posted it both in Japanese and English, so if you think you're worthy of playing for one of the most iconic punk bands ever, go to their Facebook and send in all the requirements they ask for. You know, stuff like has experience, favorite bands, personal history, blood type, the usual stuff. Still, it stinks that Ugh left. Well, you know, maybe he and Mizue can form like a new band together, just the two of them, like their own version of Royal Blood or Death from Above 1979, some good drum and bass punk. Yeah, that would be really cool. Anyways, at least we've got some great music lined up for you today, so let's lift our heads and dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start off the show with a track from Burnout Syndrome's recent album, Lemon. Fun little album worth listening to. It's called Night Cycling.
Hey, my driver, 飛ばして星の降る夜を自転車。 ばして今から君の背に書く文字は夜の風の背にしておいて海の香りがしてきた目的地は近い君は坂道登りきり答えて笑った私はこぎ出す淡いライト頼りに恋路と言うてごぼこ道を少女マン噛みたくうまく言えない恋のペーパードライバー飛ばすね星の降る夜を自転車揺れるからほらもっとギュッと掴んで愛してるとごど鳴らせベルはアフロの信号のせいにしておいて入れたブレーキから回る車輪車体跳ねる今時点シャワー坂駆け下りて止まった終着点だ海だ星の砂浜を自転車飛び降りて君は走り出した自転車と目跡星がまるで合図のように流れた胸いっぱいに息をせ名前を呼ぶ君が振り返ったどうか笑わないできてあのね君が好きだよ壊れる恋は
Champs with World's End from 2014's Bloodsuckers album. The duo of Keds and Hyde have been rather busy with the release of a new single back in August featuring Rammstein guitarist Richard Krosp and a complete music video collection known simply as History. That is the sound of me closing my iPad because I had something prepared, nicely worded for this segment. But I feel this is something that is more appropriate for a rant. So bear with me if I'm terrible at this. So, the Oscar nominations were announced this past week. There were some good choices for movies like La La Land, and honestly, that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. I know Manchester by the Sea was nominated too, but everyone who has told me about this movie has said it's pure, unadulterated shit. Like, it's a movie that's supposed to make you feel sad by forcing the sadness upon you, which is kind of like why I hated the show March Comes In Like a Lion. But anyways, I'm not here to talk about the main categories of the Oscars. I'm here to actually talk to you about Best Documentary. Full-length documentary specifically. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast show, if you listened to it throughout 2016, you have known that I actually went to a few great documentary screenings. The first being Mad Tiger, which is about P-Lander Z with the leaving of P-Lander Red and P-Lander Yellow trying to deal with that loss. And then you had We Are X, which was a whole biographical film about the Japanese metal band X Japan. Their rise, their breakup, and them reuniting once more, ready to take on the world. And then there was another great one that I saw called Gimme Danger, which was about, again, the rise, the fall, and the rise again of another iconic group, The Stooges, which featured like great interviews with Iggy Pop and the Ashburn brothers before they passed away. It was a fantastic documentary. And then lastly, the one that I felt not only was the best documentary I saw this past year, or rather in 2016, was that of One More Time With Feeling. And this was a film about Nick Cave and his band The Bad Seeds recording the album Skeleton Tree, which was number 3 on my top albums of 2016. And this was a film that was so powerful because it dealt with Nick, who had just lost his son a few months back after he fell off of a cliff, and him dealing with that loss through the only way he can, which is through his music. And it was just so beautifully done and so wonderful. Here's why I'm pissed off right now about the Oscars. Those four fantastic music documentaries, none of them got nominated. Not one. Not a single one of those documentaries got nominated, despite the fact of how powerful all of them were. Well, I wouldn't say all of them were powerful. They were all great. I would say probably We Are X and especially One More Time With Feeling were the most powerful ones. But none of them got nominated. And I'm just pissed off about that. And what got nominated are films that, okay, let me break it down. We got a movie about migrant workers, which, you know, kind of has been done in the past. We got a film about civil rights movements, which, okay, it's a little bit important that this movie is being made right now or being released right now or talked about right now because of the current political climate. Rather, we actually got two civil rights movies being nominated for Best Documentary. And then there was a film nominated about a guy who was on the autism spectrum who had a hard time, like, talking and such, and he found the only way he could really communicate was through the Disney movies he watched. And I could kind of understand maybe that's why that got nominated, that because that sounds like a powerful movie, even though bruising a bit of my ego considering all the shit that I've done despite my battle with autism and such. Sorry, I know it's a bit of an egotistical thing to say, but it still kind of bruises, and the first step of getting rid of that guilt is admitting it. Now here's the one that really, really grinds my gears. The last film that got nominated was a movie called OJ, Made in America. A five-part miniseries that aired on television. On television. Not in the movie theaters. This is the Oscars, where everything that gets nominated is one of those movies that you go see in the movie theaters. That you see on the big screen, that gets a good theatrical run, and then a few months down the line, it goes on the Blu-ray and then gets on the TV someplace like an HBO and such. This OJ film, it got just a couple of screenings at, I want to say, Sundance and a couple film festivals, but not an official run. It ran on ESPN for 5 days as a five-part documentary. It's not a fucking movie. That is a mini-series TV movie sort of thing. It is a movie, but it is not a theatrical movie. Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell is wrong with you Oscars? This is just something that just really baffles me. Motion pictures and theaters, blah, 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 blah. It's not, let's nominate a movie for an Oscar that was shown on television. That defeats the purpose. If you want to give an award for a TV thing, we've got the Emmys, we've got the Golden Globes, I think we've got the Screen Actors Guild, I think that does both movies and TV as well. Don't give a fucking Oscar to something that aired on TV. It's just fucking stupid. You have four great music documentaries. We Are X, Matt Tiger, One More Time with Feeling, and Give Me Danger. All of them were worthy of being nominated for an Oscar. I'm not saying that it would make them better movies if they got an Oscar. They are fantastic films. It's just one of those things where it just deserves just a little bit of critical recognition. Not just from, like, newspaper and magazine and TV critics and such, because they all gave them great reviews. But I just give these movies some goddamn statues, okay? Especially One More Time with Feeling. Probably one of the most powerful films of 2016, and it was a documentary. And I know a lot of documentaries can be as powerful, even more powerful than theatrical scripted films, but this movie, this was the first time I actually cried at a film in like years. That's how good One More Time with Feeling is. But yeah, Oscars, Jesus Christ, come on. There were so many other films too you could have nominated for a documentary. You didn't even nominate Where to Invade Next, the Michael Moore movie, which I thought was a great comeback for him. A great step in the right direction for what he does best. Jesus Christ. I know it's a stupid thing to like bitch about, but you're giving an Oscar nomination to a goddamn TV film. Jesus Christ, you don't do that. All right. Let's calm down. Let me calm down for a moment. And while I calm down, why don't we put on a couple more tracks? And here's a great band that I think a lot more people should be talking about pretty soon. And they come from jolly London, England, and they go by the name Divisionists. And I was listening to their upcoming debut album, Daybreak, which comes out on St. Patrick's Day, and I just really fell in love with their indie pop rock sensibility and their vocalist, who sounded a lot like Tom Petty, and that's just awesome. And I hope everyone here will go out, pre-order the album on your Bandcamp page. It is called Daybreak, and this is a cut from that album, and I hope you can be patient for its upcoming impending release. This song is called The First Casualty.
Speak their peace.
With Seven Deadly Sins from last year's The World's on Fire album. The band just released a brand new EP called Dead End in Tokyo, which features a collaboration with Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy. Now, a while back, I spoke about how much I was looking forward to the new show, Gabriel Dropout, In fact, it was the top show on my radar, as it's from the same team that brought us Himoto Amaro-chan, The Troubled Life of Miss Kotora, and the first two seasons of Yorogiri. However, after watching the first three episodes of Gabriel Dropout, I have to say it's a little bit disappointing. Now, don't get me wrong. Gabriel Dropout is a funny show. The premise of an angel whose pure ways are tainted by online gaming has brought some good laughs both from its physical humor and dialogue. Gabriel acting so indecent that even her demon friends Tsukunose and Satena Chia have to even put her in her place is a good twist on that old angel versus demon trope. Even their reactions to new situations in a certain melon-bread-loving canine are very laugh-out-loud funny. However, what Gabriel Dropout lacks is the quantity of laugh-out-loud moments and the quantity of fantastic storytelling. Himoto Amaro-chan was a hit because the title character would switch between the lazy and the ace student personas, presenting viewers with many over-the-top laughs. Miss Kotora worked because there was the balance between high-level hilarity and some pretty shocking dark drama. Love Lab was great because it placed a romantically inexperienced student at the foreway of a study in a concept of getting boys to like them. Meanwhile, the character of Gabriel doesn't seem to have that aspect of turning on and off her angelic or lazy ways. She just happens to be a lazy angel. Maybe I'm just nitpicking here, but when you have a main character, they're supposed to have two sides of the coin. If Gabriel can switch between the do-nothing and do-gooder, the show's humor would work way better. Or perhaps add a bit more character development to her friend Tsukunose, pushing more good deeds out of a character that's supposed to be pure evil. Although, don't change anything about Setanichiya, because she's already written perfectly. But, you know, maybe it just needs one more episode to fully iron out its wrinkles. And by the time this No Borders in the Race episode airs, hopefully that next episode would have come and gone and made this argument completely moot. But from the first three episodes, Gabriel Dropout has been okay. Not great, just okay. Now you can read a second opinion from Andrew over at Wicked Anime on our Seasonal Picks articles on the Nerdy Show site, which goes into a lot of good detail on why it's his honorable mention of the Winter 2017 anime season. Then go to Crunchyroll and watch the series there to form your own opinion. But so far, it's just been okay. Personally, I prefer Amaro-chan and Troubled Life of Miss Kotora when it comes to the people who made the show. Who knows, it could probably change as the episodes progress. You never know. Sometimes things start out badly and then wind up being pretty awesome, unlike what happened with Yorikuma Arashi on Funimation. So, for now, it's okay. Could be better, it might get better, but you just never know. Alright, let's return to some music. Here's an oldie from Monobright who released a new record called Verses back in October. From their 2008 EP Anotome Kanto Shonen, this is Natsu Melomatic. Oh. The New Pornographers with Use It from 2005's Twin Cinema album. The New Pornographers will be hitting the road this spring in support of their brand new record, Whiteout Conditions, which hits stores on April 7th. I'll be going to their Boston gig, of course. Can't wait to see them live, especially with Nico Case in the band. When it comes to adaptations of video games, it usually goes down a bad path. You're given a show, sometimes, that's like a basic copy of the source material, acting as something like a visual player's guide on how to beat it. One of the best examples of that happening was with last year's Ace Attorney series. While faithful to a T, it didn't add anything new to the original game's formula, and thus, it became unnecessary to watch if you already played the game, ridding the show of its main demographic, the original fans. However, there are times where you can take the blueprint of a video game and use that to create a whole new world and experience for fans of the original. Of course, that could lead to something like the live-action Resident Evil series, which, I'll admit, I liked the first three movies, which was the first one, Apocalypse, and Extinction. I liked those three, but the other ones were just straight-up terrible. We actually reviewed the fourth movie years ago on the original B3 podcast, and I can't even remember what the fuck it was even about. It was that forgettable. But once in a great while, you get the best of both worlds. A faithful adaptation of the source material, with a whole lot of new things tossed in there, all without tainting the original series. And for me, that's what this season's Akiba's Trip has been very good at. It's the same premise of the crazed superhumans known as Bugged Ones terrorizing Akihabara, with the only way of defeating them is to rip their clothes off. However, it has new characters, different side stories, and even original villains that differed from the video game. Thankfully, what's different won't sway fans of the original Akiba's Trip away from watching it, and those who are unfamiliar with the game can enjoy it without feeling confused. Now, sometime soon, I'll be posting my review of Akiba's Trip on our site, but it's actually very enjoyable. I'm actually giving it a lot more credit than I thought I was going to. Although, I do have to say that it was like looking into a mirror when Tomotsu was talking about getting that perfect audio quality for listening to music in episode 3. If you've ever wondered what sort of lengths I would go through to get the right kind of sound to come out of my speakers, just watch the third episode of Akiba's Trip. Or just watch it all. It's actually one of Gonzo's better shows in recent memory, and that's actually, it's not saying much because Gonzo hasn't been that good, but they're getting back up there. And I feel like Akiba's Trip is what's going to help Gonzo become a much more respectable anime company like it once was many years ago. We're talking like the days of My Bride is a Mermaid and Afro Samurai, those good old days. Hopefully Gonzo will get back up there, and Akiba's Trip is a great way to start things off. Alright, let's return to this week's playlist. Here's a little something from Noodles, who just celebrated their 25th anniversary as a band. From their 2012 album, Loafers on the Japan Town, this is My Memory.
My destiny, magical last time. Yes or no, created to the star. I'm joy to me tie the
I'm It's alright.
Keiko touches the walls with Rawhide from last year's album Yukimo Aimo Nainante. Their most recent single, Mashi Mashi, was featured as the end theme to Season 3 of Haikyuu, one of the best sports anime ever made, in my honest opinion. I know I've said stuff like this in the past, but we've got a problem when it comes to the quality of American writing in our pop culture, specifically when it comes to television. This problem isn't something that we have when it comes to original programming airing on stuff like Netflix or Hulu or even some of the more up-there cable channels like FX or AMC. What I'm pointing towards is more of an issue when it comes to network television. The ABCs, NBCs, CBSs of the lot, and that problem is a lack of creativity, specifically when it comes to the realm of comedy. Now, once in a while, we're blessed with something completely out of the ordinary, like The Good Place, or, you know what, that's actually probably it right now. And then we're given the exact same shows just on different networks, or sometimes the exact same networks. We watch Kevin James play a guy trying to raise his family after retirement, and Kevin can wait. And then we see Matt LeBlanc play an old loser trying to raise his kids after his wife returns to work. And the only difference between the two, I think, is that one's fat, and the other has a little snow on the top of his head. Then you've got ABC, who is just one quirky family after another, after another, after another, with the middle and the Goldbergs and Fresh Off the Boat and the Real O'Neills and Speechless and, of course, Modern Family. So what exactly can be done to fix this issue? Well, there's an easy way to do it, but considering pulling something off like this might cost a little extra dough, networks won't probably jump at the opportunity to try it. It's this. All you do is take the reality out of the world you place your characters in. If a show isn't afraid to go fantastical lengths to pull off something unique and incredible, then there's a chance it could hook a viewer right at the get-go. Again, look at the recent show The Good Place to see how it can be done properly. Although we should avoid saying it, I cannot deny that some networks should learn a thing or two from Japanese animation. After all, NBC does have some stake in anime like Drifters and Fist of the North Star. But since we're focusing primarily on comedy here, let's take an example like, I don't know, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. If you look closely at it, it's actually a very simple premise. A girl saves the life of another, and in return, she promises to be her at-home helper. The only thing that makes it stand out is that the person she rescues is actually a dragon, one that can transform into a human form, sans her tail. And it has so far resulted in being one of the best shows of the winter season. An American show like this could easily be pulled off on network if given a chance. Look, all I'm saying is that there needs to be something done about the quality of comedic programming on the regular networks. Otherwise, they're going to lose to all the comedy programming on the cable and streaming networks. In fact, it's safe to say that they already are losing. FX and FXX have such looming comedies like Man Seeking Woman, Baskets, Atlanta, You're the Worst, and Better Things. Netflix has Master of None and Grace and Frankie. Hulu has Casual and Difficult People. And Amazon has both Transparent and Mozart in the Jungle. And even though networks have some stake in something like Hulu, not a lot of people still don't use streaming services and stick with television. So perhaps network TV can try just a little bit harder when it comes to creative content. Personally, I believe that with hard work, dedication, a strong show bible, and the ability to think outside the box is what the likes of ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS should benefit from. Then again, we were given Son of Zorn, which is a humorous premise with a script that's as comedically flat as a 30-year-old can of New Coke being promoted by Bill Cosby! So make sure the writing's good too. Hopefully someone out there will take this advice and transform television comedy for the better. And while they ponder on said advice, why don't we return to this week's playlist? Coming up, we've got the kings of the hardcore punk scene fucked up! who will be touring in March to celebrate the 10th anniversary of their debut album, Hidden World, by playing it in its entirety. I figured we should play one of my favorite cuts from that record, and it goes by the name, Manqueller Man.
Ah. 咲くならば僕はな
Punch Drunkard, that was the Yellow Monkey with Cucon. The band recently got back together after a 15-year hiatus and have released two new singles since then. Here's hoping an album comes out very soon. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on the J-Punk, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbabyduckesh, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's track from Divisionist, provided by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you, as always, for sending down such cool and kick-ass artists. Also, don't forget to check out a brand new episode of Wicked Anime this Thursday with special guest Jessica of Nerdy Show. We chat about winter anime, light novels that a mother would love, and murder. It's all on the Nerdy Show site and the Wicked Anime Podcast on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe to that as well. We're going to be ending things off with a track from Akino with Bless 4, and this song served as the opening theme to last fall's Izetta, The Last Witch, one of our favorite shows of last year. This is Cross the Line, and until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.